wasn't going to go to, mm-hmm. up in Long Island. But now I'm thinking, what's looking like I could do it? Okay. I'm muted.
Evening is supposed to be participatory and interactive, so we're getting, and feel free at this point to move closer.
They won't fight. And you guys won't fight about the colors like the kindergartners do, right?
So feel free to use those as it seems appropriate when we need a little rhythm section going. And it is always wonderful to be with community when Shabbat begins. And even though there is time in our service to pause, to think of those who are ill, or to remember a loved one who is no longer with us, overall, this service is to be interactive and upbeat and a celebration of the joy of Shabbat. So we begin by welcoming the Shabbat angels with gusto. And if you think they would like to hear shaking as they come in, then feel free to do so. Shalom Aleichem on page 10. But I know that Sharon Jarasdan has just returned from quite a big trip, including Israel, and Greece, and you've improved your Hebrew, so you will share that with our youth. So come on up and light candles. We welcome you back to the States. And candlelighting is on page, we're doing candlelighting number 2 on page 12. Do you have your book? Okay. We got one for you. We have you covered. Top of page 12.
We have been taught in days of old that Shabbat begins at sundown, but sundown comes so early on the cold winter's day, and in summertime, the sun is like a child not wanting to go to bed. The summer light lingers in the sky, even as we gather in prayer. So when does Shabbat begin?
Shabbat begins when we have set aside our work week with its busyness and lists. Shabbat begins when we are all together around the Shabbat table or in our sanctuary, both homes for us.
When we are finally together, we light and bless the candles. That is when Shabbat begins.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Adonai our God, ruler of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvot and commands us to kindle the lights of Shabbat.
Baruch atah Adonai Elohim. Oh.
Rise for Baruch Hu, page 17. Something to our president. We're just keeping you all on your toes. And you, do you want a mic? Here's a mic.
You have blessed us with noble powers. Teach us to make wise use of them. You have called us to be your partners in the never-ending work of creation. We thank you for the capacity to choose the path devoted to your service and dedicated to the well-being of those around us.
We continue with Shema on page 22.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha uv'chol nafshecha uv'chol ma'odecha v'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavcha v'shinantam levanecha v'dibarta bam v'shivtcha beveitecha uv'lechtecha v'aderech Uvshochbacha uvkumecha, ukshartam laot al yadecha, v'hayu l'totafot bein einecha, uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha, uvisharecha, lema'an tizkeru v'asitem et kol mitzvotai, v'item kedoshim l'elohechem, ani Adonai Elohechem. Asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, lehiyot lachem l'Elohim, ani Adonai Elohechem. The bottom of page 23. Love God with every heartbeat, with every breath, with every conscious act. Keep in mind the words I command you today. Teach them to your children. Let these mitzvot guide you along the path of life. May they instruct you in your daily tasks. Keep them in the forefront of your vision. Place them at the doorway of your house so that upon entering or departing, they remind you to live by my mitzvot in order that you may reflect on God's holiness through your life. The Eternal One led you out of Egypt to be your God. The Eternal One alone is your God. So we're focusing on Miriam this week because her life comes to an end in this week's Torah portion, but she leaves behind a legacy of joy and celebration at the blessings of life. So in that spirit, this might be a good time to get your egg shakers out. She and the Israelites sang at the sea as they escaped to freedom, Micha Mocha, page 24.
Eternal God, through all our days flow the refreshing waters of your loving kindness, yet we often forget the source. Create in us a clean heart that we may face our daily duties with greater courage and clarity of purpose. May we discover that in loving and serving others, we are loving and serving you. Guard us and our dear ones in the coming week. May we live together in love and unselfishness so that happiness and peace may abide within our homes. Amen.
Please rise for Tefillah, page 29. Adonai, Eloheinu velohei avotenu v'imotenu, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Elohei Sarah, Elohei Rivka, Elohei Rachel, Elohei Leah, Ha'el Hagadol Hagibur v'hanora, El Elyon, Gomel Hasadim Tovim, V'konei Hakol, V'zocher chastei avot v'imahot, umevig ula livnei v'nehem, lema'an shemo ba'ahava, melech ozer umoshia umagen, baruch ata Adonai, magen Avraham v'ezrat Sarah. The top of page 30. Me, my family, the Jewish people, and Torah, a tree of life. Roots holding on to the past, branches reaching to the future, leaves dancing like children, growing and changing with the seasons, teaching peace, caring, sharing, tolerance, understanding from parent to child, from generation to generation. The top of page 32. Our lives are blessed because of the holiness of God. From the beauty of the earth and sky to the beauty we have within us, God is everywhere. God has given us the ability to realize how precious life is, and for that we are grateful. Baruch atah Adonai, Ha'el HaKadosh. Blessed are you, the Holy God. You may be seated. Reader 3. Let's see. Okay, this way.
Let there be love and understanding among us. Let peace and friendship be our shelter from life's storms. Adonai, help us to walk with good companions, to live with hope in our hearts and eternity in our thoughts, that we may lie down in peace and rise up waiting to do your will.
So we are going to sing Yismachu, which I don't know if we've done on a Friday night in quite a while, although we do it on Saturday morning. And the word Yismachu is the same root as the word Sameach, which is happy. And it celebrates the joy of Shabbat. And this is a version by friend of TBS, Beth Schaefer, page 35.
When justice burns like a flaming fire within us, when love evokes willing sacrifice from us, when to the last full measure of selfless devotion we proclaim our belief in the ultimate triumph of truth and righteousness, we are truly doing your will. You live in our hearts, even as you pervade our world. Through righteous action, we offer living testimony to your presence.
So as we pray for peace, we pray that we may be co-workers, partners with God in the process of bringing ourselves a more peaceful world. Sim Shalom, page 40.
Shalom, Tova, Uvra.
5. Okay, Hayden. The boy who did both a Hebrew and an English part at the 4th grade wedding.
Holy One, give me a quiet heart and help me hear the still, small voice that speaks within me. It calls me to come close to you and grow in your likeness. It teaches me to do my work faithfully, even when there's no eye is upon me. It counsels me to judge others kindly and to love them freely, for it pursues me to see divinity in everyone I meet. Help me, O God, to come to the end of each day feeling that I use gifts wisely and face each trial bravely.
Excellent. Thank you.
And we continue silently with the prayers of our hearts. Many in our congregation, among our loved ones who are in need of healing, in need of strength and comfort this week. And as we do on every Shabbat at TBS, we pause to think of them, to pray for them, to sign cards for them after the service. They are with us in our hearts and in our thoughts. So this particular prayer for healing, Heal Us Now, contains a prayer, appropriately enough, that was said for Miriam by Moses. Just a few chapters ago in our Torah, El Na Rafa Na La, God, please heal her. So we pray for all of those in need of healing, page 46. So what do you know about Miriam? Anything? One effect? Or maybe that you don't know very much about her?
She had a timbrel.
She had a timbrel. Excellent. What else? Anything else you know about Miriam? She was the sister of Moses and Aaron. She gets some kind of scaly something that is, okay. That's kind of about it. you've pretty much covered most of what we know about Miriam from the Torah. We know the first time we hear her name is when she picks that timbrel up and she dances in joy because finally after supposedly 400 years of slavery, the Israelite people are free. If we go back, it is assumed, but not, we're not 100% sure, that very early on in Exodus, when there is a sister who watches Moses as he's floating in the basket down the river and then tells Pharaoh's daughter, oh, I have a nursemaid I can bring to take care of this baby. Then she goes to get her mom to come and take care of Moses. Miriam's not named. We're assuming that is her. And then, as Janet said, later, much later, her and Aaron are complaining. They have two complaints. One, Moses has married a woman from Cush. We don't know what the issue is with that. She's not of them. We don't know what the story is. Two, has God spoken only through Moses? Hasn't God spoken through us as well? How come we're not, close like everyone else? Well, God, in a sort of godly version of don't make me come down there, does come down there in a cloud and says, cut it out. Moses is the man I've chosen. I speak directly with him. Don't challenge him. The cloud disappears, and suddenly Miriam is covered with some kind of white, scaly something. And at that point is when Moses prays what we just prayed. El na refana, please heal her. Please heal her now. And she's banished for 7 days and then comes back, and I guess all is fine at that point. And in this week's Torah portion, she dies. So that's what we know from Torah. We know also that it says in the Torah, she died in Kadesh and was buried there, and there was no water. That's how the text reads. So from that, our later rabbis who interpret the Torah, creating what we now know as Judaism, said, well, it's not just a coincidence that Miriam dies and then immediately it says there's no water. There must be some kind of causal connection. So whether you're thinking that this is maybe a magical well that perhaps when Miriam was alive, and that's one theory, is that there was this magical well that wherever they would go because of Miriam, it would go with them and provide them water, and then she died and it's gone. Or maybe it's more poetic, it's more metaphoric. Maybe it represents that there was something that Miriam provided to the people, something that sustained them and gave them life, that preserved their well-being, and that by her being gone, whatever that was also gone. So in a few minutes' time, you are all going to create a sermon because I am going to now give a whole bunch of questions that can't possibly be answered in the time we have, but I'm going to let you all pick up on what is interesting to you, what is your response. So a number of these questions I'm sure you have memorized because you all read my message that went out by email today very, very carefully. But just in case you happen to miss it, here are some questions that I posed. So our Torah text contains relatively little about her life and her accomplishments. And why do you think that is? Is it because the more high-profile siblings are male? So I'm so glad, Joseph, you want to jump in. I'm going to throw actually a bunch more questions at you, and then you can decide what you want to answer. So Miriam has been identified, certainly in modern times and probably before, as a biblical figure that women connect with, and most likely because she's a woman, and maybe for other reasons, maybe because she does seem like her leadership, which was clearly important, is not somehow written about as much, maybe isn't considered as much. So women often say that by studying Miriam and learning about Miriam, they feel empowered because they see themselves in the story. So I love a good dilemma, and my dilemma is, if that is the case, does that mean that the stories of the men in the Torah, Moses and Abraham and many others, does that mean that those are not my stories as well because they're men? Does someone who's a woman in the Torah actually reflect me? Is that a lesson that should be more for me? How much does her womanness matter, and how much does ours matter? Why do you think Miriam is called a prophet? Except for that one time when God goes, hey, there doesn't seem to be interaction between the two. What maybe makes her a prophet? We don't know. And there is that midrash, that rabbinic story of Miriam's well, that when she died, something that was giving life to the Israelite people died. So I'm throwing all those things out and looking for your responses. Do any of those questions kind of strike you? Do you have any feelings about them? Joseph, you were the first one with your hand up, so would you like to make a comment?
So the first question was about why she wasn't mentioned. I think that was written a long time ago, and so sexism.
Okay. So it might be we don't hear about her because of sexism. Other thoughts about any of these questions? How do you feel about Sandy? Do you want to say anything about Miriam or your feelings about Miriam?
Yeah, I think that Miriam represents some things that didn't quite go along with the story that was happening at the time. Because I think we, in more modern times, were able to pull some things out about her that maybe didn't go with the story that was happening at that time. Because that was the time of the Exodus and all of that. And Moses and Aaron had such prominent roles in that, that there really wasn't space to, you know, really delve into what she was offering to the people. Because they did look to her for counseling and as an advisor, but she was almost like the silent partner. And, you know, going back to what Joseph said, you know, maybe the people weren't ready at that time to listen to a woman. You know, everything was more male-based, and so she took care of things in the background.
I think that, as the saying goes, behind every great man is a great woman.
And how do you feel about that, that behind every great man is a great woman?
I feel it's very true.
There's very little emotion in the Torah, and I think Miriam represents emotion. And so emotion is a quality that's usually attributed to women, unfairly so, I think. So in that respect, I think there is a kinship for me with Miriam. And I also wanted to make the point that, you know, the men in the Torah, they're not so great. So the fact that I don't really... I feel that the story is unfair in the fact that you don't hear the women's voices. On the other hand, I'm not really so excited about the men's voices because I don't really think many of the men in the Torah behave in the way that I would aspire to.
I think the Torah characters are very flawed. Miriam, as well as her brothers and as well as everyone else. And that is another interesting discussion. Why do we have a Bible filled with very imperfect people? Other thoughts about Miriam? Is she someone relatable to everyone? Perhaps she's someone who is relatable to anyone who may feel marginalized. For example, often you hear people with all different kinds of disabilities share their experience that they often feel invisible or that their voice doesn't count or that people talk over them. Perhaps that's one life experience that might relate to Miriam, if we see Miriam as someone who maybe was not heard as much as she should have been. Other Miriam thoughts?
I have more of a question. So going back to when Moses is a baby and she puts him in the water and all of that, why isn't she mentioned at that time? What have the, over, you know, the centuries, what have the rabbis said is, you know, what has led them to believe that it was her?
Named?
Yes.
Okay.
And why is she not named until later on?
I don't know why she isn't named there, but there's some question, because apparently there's somewhere else that it suggests that Miriam was actually younger than Moses and not older, so then there's some discussion, maybe this is a sister, this is a half-sister, so it's just sort of lots of question marks, and we don't know. The rabbis do kind of fill in some gaps.
I see Miriam as a very powerful leader, actually. She's a person of action. If we assume she was an older sister, she was the one who took it upon herself to watch over Moses and make sure he was adopted appropriately. And certainly, at the climax of the Exodus, she's the one who led the people into that emotional release, the dancing. So she got the people actively releasing all of that pent-up fear and emotion and, you know, release. You're very, a person really of action.
I guess I kind of have a question comment, just thinking through as we're talking here about all the women in the Bible. It seems like the matriarchs, for example, most of the discussion about them is about having children. So Miriam's a little bit unique in that respect. So I wonder how she compares to other women in the Bible. Although her story isn't as in-depth as perhaps it should be, is it greater than other women in the Bible?
Yeah, the fact that being married or having children isn't something that's really ever talked about in relation to Miriam. So that is an interesting, we could do a lot with that. But in those, you know, in that time period, does that perhaps make her more powerful? Because maybe there was like a, well, you can either be a mom or you can have this position of leadership kind of choice.
I think what women connect with is, or aspire to in the story that you're telling, is that she carved out her own role even though she knew that it didn't mean great recognition or a voice. She still carved out her own, like, deciding that people should bring their timbrels instead of more bread. Yeah. Yeah.
So also what I'm hearing and what you're saying is she did for the sake of doing, that it was not necessarily going to gain her anything personally, but she still felt this was an important thing to do, to help everyone recognize what a joyous and important and sacred moment this was. To the point that we're still in Fairfax Station, Virginia, singing her song. So to conclude, I had an idea. I know this is very tiny. This is the best I could find on Amazon. It's a little tiny well. It's actually Peppa Pig's well, but it's for now it's our TBS well. So we never do find out in the Torah what was in Miriam's well. You know, on the surface, it was water. But what does that represent? What was she bringing to the people that kept them sustained, even if they maybe didn't realize it until she was gone? You know, we all have that experience ever since we were, you know, in elementary school and we pack up our things in our room saying, well, they'll be sorry when I run away and I'm gone and they won't notice me. And so, you know, we all have that feeling going back to very early childhood that, there's something that maybe I'm sharing, I'm bringing, I'm helping sustain people. Maybe Miriam was bringing a sense of acceptance and inclusion. Maybe she brought a sense of joy. Maybe she brought a sense that you do, even if you're not going to gain anything from it. Maybe what she brought was a sense of gratitude that kept them going, encouragement, wisdom. So here is a question for each of you, and you don't need to share anything. And we do have a lot of people here, so I'm not sure this is time-wise going to work. But as we continue our service and conclude our service, we're going to pass this well around, and you don't have to say anything. In fact, don't say anything out loud because we'll be doing other prayers. But when that well comes to you, take a moment to think about what do you, when you look back, what would you like to think is in your well? What do you feel and what would you aspire to bring to your family, to bring to your community, to bring to the world that really helps sustain people? And maybe it's joy, maybe it's acceptance, maybe it's who knows what it is. So just as she reached down deep inside and brought out something that really helped the Israelite people through a difficult time, so we each can reach down deep and bring something to sustain the world. So I will start this here, and just you can think about it when it comes to you and pass it around. And in the meantime, we are all going to sing Miriam's song. Appropriately enough, it is in your service folder. Your timbrels / eggs. You may be seated. Page 59. There are stars up above so far away, we only see their light long, long after the star itself is gone. And so it is with people who we love. Their memories keep shining ever brightly, though their time with us is done. But the stars that light up the darkest night, these are the lights that guide us as we live our days. These are the ways we remember. During the year of mourning, we remember fondly our beloved members. Betty Davison, Donna Courtney, Mark Langstein, Michael Van Gelder, Renee Muntner, Paul Pressman, Sandy Keith. We mourn the losses in the last 30 days for our members, Zipporah Baum, aunt of Amnon Solomon, Douglas Fredericks, father of Fred Fredericks. And we remember the yard sites this week of Shirley Dondies, Jean Merck, Herman Miller, Alice Woods, Essie Burson, Dr. A. Stanley Dreyfus, Rabbi Dr. Paul Steinberg, Martin Holleran Sr., Nathan Muntner, Alfred Warm, Major General Joseph Ahern, Kathy Walls, Janet Shapiro, Wolfgang Schuler, Travis Weiser, Mike Goldstein, Benjamin Littman, Pauline Rosenfeld, Maurice Victor, Natalie Lax, Susanna Holzman, Ramona Schneider, Benno Schneider, Judah Friedman, Paula Friedman, Andrew Wertheimer, Clara Wertheimer, Ella Wertheimer. We honor their lives and their memories as we join together in Kaddish, page 60, please rise.
Yitgadal v'yitkadash shmei rabah. V'yalma divrach hirutei v'yamlich malchutei. V'chayechon uv'yomechon v'chayei decho beit Yisrael. V'agalau v'izman kari v'yimru. Amen. Yehe shmei rabah mivrach l'alam olmei olmaya. Yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitpa'ar v'yitromam v'yitnase. V'yitadar v'yitale v'yitalal shmei d'kudsha berichu. Le'ela min kol berachata v'shirata. Tushbachata v'nechemata. Damiran v'yalma v'yimru. Amen. Yehe shlama rabba min shamaya. V'chayim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael. V'yimru. Amen. Ose shalom bimromav, hu ya'ase shalom, aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, v'imru, amen.
V'imru, 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 amen, v'imru, v'imru, v'imru. Amen.
We move from our sacred prayer of memory to celebrating the joy that is the Shabbat day with Kiddush and Motzi. And I'd like to invite up, you don't have to, but anyone who is currently in our religious school, if you would like to come forward to lead us in Kiddush and Motzi. Page 61 and 62. Okay, we're getting there. Grayson, come on up. Hayden. Okay, Harry's the senior member of the group. You get to hold the cup. And come on around here. And you're the first ones to get challah, so it's a good, you want to be up here.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav, v'ratzav banu, v'shabbat kodesho. Yahavah Ufrason in Chilanu, Zikaron Lemaste Bereshit, Kihu Yom Tehila, Lamikra Ekodesh, Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim, Kivanu Vachata, V'yotah. Our voices join in song together as our joyful prayer is said. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
You may be seated. Can announce from wherever. You have your choice.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you to all who helped make this service possible, Rabbi Rappaport, Rob and Rachel, board member ushers, greeters, ONEC helpers, security, and you, our TBS members and guests. Welcome to our I had the word informal here. Maybe I should have said interactive summer Shabbat service where Rabbi Rappaport got all her steps in for the week. Please be sure to read the weekly emails for events until our new TBS calendar is up and running. To highlight a few events, in July, Rabbi Crystal takes us on a four-session learning tour of Judaism in the 21st century. Sessions begin at 7 o'clock and last about 90 minutes on July 24th, 31st, August 7th, and 14th. Details and sign-up are in the weekly email. On August 2nd, join us for a family barbecue at 6 p.m. and an outdoor early Shabbat service at 7 p.m. Please RSVP to Ellen if you plan on coming to the barbecue so we can have enough hot dogs. And Sheldon Lowe returns on the 23rd of this month. And it's hard to believe, but listen back there, you guys. Religious school starts on the 25th. I think that's tomorrow, right? And while it's a little early, I wanted you to start putting on your calendars a save the date for the TBS art auction on September 7th. That's a Saturday night. This will be a chance to socialize, have some fun, and buy some art while you help raise some money for TBS. And even you don't even have to buy anything. Just by showing up, you help raise money, because the first increment of what we get from the auctioneer is based on attendance, has nothing to do with sales. So be there. The only thing you have to do is buy an $18 ticket to cover the cost of food and beverage. Wishing you a peaceful Shabbat, a good next week. Shabbat Shalom.
The Echo, is that what we call it? The Echo Adon alum, so we have a medal, so pick a side. Adon alum on page 62.
May you be blessed with a Shabbat and a week ahead where you have the opportunity to dig deep into your well and bring your gifts to those around you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, I will.